Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. He's one of the most prolific songwriters in South Dakota. J. Waylon Miller, also known as J. William Porcupine, is the principal songwriter and member of the band Friends of Cesar Romero. His music first crashed onto the national scene with the Rapid City group The Redmen. They've had music featured on the TV dramas Grey's Anatomy and Bull. Friends of Cesar Romero's latest single is called Post Mistress Holiday Blues, and for this week's Moment in Sound, we welcome him to SDPB's Black Hills Bureau in Rapid City. Johnny, welcome to the program.
Happy Friday, Lori.
Happy Friday. Now you're playing Tuesday, December 26th at Black Hills Vinyl in Rapid City. That's at 7 p.m. Give me an idea of how often, you know, where are you living now and how often are you traveling?
Living abroad, but currently crashing at my parents' spare bedroom, which is pretty cool. And then, yeah, I don't know. I just travel wherever the wind takes me.
And you've traveled all over from, you know, Arizona to living in Rapid City to abroad. What about sort of going with where the wind takes you appeals to you as an artist?
You know, I just like the nomadic nature of constantly, the constant movement is probably the best thing about it. And I think that's what makes touring so fun, is you get to hang with friends for just a brief moment and then keep moving on. And I love traveling too, so.
So give people an idea, when Friends of Cesar Romero plays, it's you and whoever you can pull together, whoever shows up for you. Is that sort of how it works?
Correct. I think how it basically works is I'm fortunate to have enough cool friends who want to play music with me. And so I just round up whoever's not busy at the time and we just hang out and play music. And so far it's been working. And so it's great because it's very, very, very non-committal. And I think that's what people like about it.
What will you play for us today? Tell us what's coming up first here.
First disclaimer, then song. I have a little coldy poo, so.
I do too. We'll allow it.
All right. So if we have some breakdowns, it'll be great. Might run out of the Rapid City studio. So let's see. We have Grab Your Heathers and Run. And do you want me to play that soon?
let's do one now, and then we'll talk a little bit more, and then we'll hear
good.
Some more.
All right. Let's break the ice here. Sorry, I'm capping the water. Here we go.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, this is SDPB Radio. You're listening to Moment in Sound. Friends of Cesar Romero joining us from the SDPB's Black Hills Bureau in Rapid City. You can see him Tuesday, December 26th at Black Hills Vinyl. Johnny, who's with you on Tuesday? Do you know? When will you know who's all showing up to sort of hang out with you that night?
Great question. I just found out like 2 days ago.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was good. My homie Scotty, who plays in Scatter Their Own, he's in town, so I recruited him. And then my longtime drummer who played in the Redmen, who also happens to be my brother, who I can guilt into playing all the time, he's going to be playing drums. So, yeah.
All right, take me back when the Redmen were done and you moved to Arizona and you kind of, you know, hung it up, and then it didn't last very long. Take me to that time of your life and say, what were you thinking was going to happen, and how did it change from, you know, what you actually ended up needing to do?
Well, so what had happened is that moment when the Redmen were kind of dying anyway, you know, people wanted to move on with their lives and start families and careers, and I was like the only guy who wanted to keep going and stuff like that, and I kind of felt like there's this weird pressure on me about making the band successful, because we had the Grey's Anatomy thing and this momentum was going. And at that point, you know, we were about 12 years into it. So everybody was kind of getting tired and, you know, there was no real traction, and we kind of just kind of decided to let it go and everybody go their separate ways. And so I, now in retrospect, I quit rock and roll like 3 times now, and I just keep coming back. But that was one of the times where I was like, you know, I'm done. I'm going to move to Arizona, potentially go to school, blah, 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 blah. But I went and I got down there and I was like, I can't quit. I just, like, it's too hard. It's just too hard, especially when you've built your life around it. It's like, what else are you going to do? Like, work at a grocery store or something?
They say you should only be a musician if you can't do anything but be a musician. Does that describe you?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I mean, and it's funny because, like, my nieces and nephews are, like, playing music now, and I'm just like, keep it as a hobby. Don't you know, and usually it's like, I think other people would be like, yeah, you should really do it. I'm like, no, don't do it. It's a rough one.
Do you feel like you're being generous though? Because fans, you know, want that from you. So what's your relationship to the people who are sort of awaiting your music and wanting you to take that hard path?
I think there's only 10 people, and I thank them every day. I wake up and text them and say, thank you. No, I'm not sure. I'm grateful, first off. I think it's, I've been, for the not much success, you know, like commercial, quote unquote commercial success, you know, I've been really fortunate to just kind of amass a nice little following of people who want to hear the music and who, you know, download the records and buy the albums, which is really cool, I think. And for that, you know, I didn't think it would ever get that far. I never thought. When I started playing in like 94, 95, I never thought that you would be on a TV show, or I never thought that you could do, you know, I just thought we were going to play around town and hang out and whatever, have a good time. But I mean, it's taken me this far. And so, like, why stop now, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah. You're a Northern Cheyenne tribal member.
Correct.
Tell me how who you are influences what you do and what you create.
Well, I mean, there's a two separate path. This is where it gets a little crazy, because, I like to keep both of them separate. Like, where my cultural identity is, I'm pretty secure with that, and I'm cool with that, and I keep that, you know, I know where that goes. and it's cool, and I just keep the rock and roll separately, because what happens is a lot of people say, you know, how come you don't, you know, why are you more political, or why don't you make more statements? And I'm like, I play pop songs in a rock and roll band. I don't, you know, what I do outside of that, that's where, you know, we could chat about tribal politics all day long. But I mean, when it comes to rock and roll, like, keep that stuff out of it. And so I think as far as, like, there's a lot of, like, political statements that could happen, I was like, ah, I'll save that for someone else who's want to devote more time to that.
You told the Native American population that non-natives never ask you about it, though, and it was nice to be asked.
Oh, yeah. Well, I
just
mean,
in certain contexts, yeah.
It was like, we can skip the last two songs and just go straight to the heart of the ideas if we want to do that today. That would be great. I would be all right with that.
I think I'll get in trouble if I don't ask you to play again, though, because people tune in to Moment in Sound and want to hear the music. So what would you like to play for us next, please?
Oh, all right. This is a little ditty called Exclusively Unfaithful Impractical Dreamer. There you go. Oh my goodness. All right, here we go.
In Sound with Friends of Cesar Romero. Follow him on Twitter at Friends of Cesar R. Bandcamp.friendsofcesarromero.com is where you can find some music. And we better address the name. So kind of, invoking the name of a Cuban actor from Batman, right?
It could be anybody, really. A great story. We were on tour in Tucson, and we were getting ready to play. And we had set up outside, and, you know, because it's Arizona, or it's like Arizona, it's nice. And right. This lady comes up, or somebody at the who was hanging out, and was like, "Hey, is your band name really Friends with Cesar Romero?" So yeah. And she said, "I have a best friend whose name's Cesar Romero." And I said, "Yeah, you know, we're friends with him. You know, take some stickers." And so it's not really about Mr. Cesar Romero. It could be anybody.
It could be any Cesar.
Could
Romero
be a soccer player. Around. Yeah.
Right.
Just hanging out. We're friends with him.
It's good to have friends.
That's right.
Let's talk a little bit about this continuum of, such a prolific songwriter, more than 250 songs registered to your name with BMI. And you're writing the songs, you're performing them, but then you're also, on the production side as well, right? So tell me a little bit about this sort of left brain, right brain, pairing here, and what side of you is sort of keyed in on each element of the production and writing of your music?
Well, I like it both, right? Because it's great. Because doing the production side, not having a full scale studio, and just it comes out of necessity, right? Because going into a real studio costs a lot of money, and I think around the time that we started, there was like no real studios out here. So you kind of had to just save up and buy a 4-track and figure it out yourself. And so that's where that you start falling down the rabbit hole and start learning a lot about production and techniques and stuff like that to try to make your music a little more hi-fi without going in and spending all this money. And because what usually happens is when you go into a studio and you don't know anything about a studio, you think that you're going to have like whatever record you're listening to, and that usually doesn't happen. So you spend all this money. So the right brain, left brain thing is really cool because you can sit and write the songs and kind of put them aside and then think about the production aspect of it, of how you want to approach how you're going to mic it up or how you're going to like take in the other side of it. And that's really cool too, because that just keeps me occupied the whole time. So I like that aspect of it, of being able to try to crack the challenges of actually bringing these songs into whatever form they turn out to be.
Yeah. Are you searching for a more hi-fi sound, or are you, you know, really trying to break it down to its most elemental roots?
I like the lo-fi sound. What I think a lot of my peers, colleagues, and friends are bummed out on me about, I think, is that I really gravitate towards the worst sounding records, the ones that are made on boomboxes and four tracks and stuff. I like those ones, but I can make a hi-fi record. I like the fact that like the more primitive and garage and lo-fi it sounds, it's like that is way more exciting to me than it is with like really production, a lot of your Pro Tools weird tricks and auto-tune and stuff like that.
Sounds
which,
a little,
you know, it's great. It's good. It's good for good for people who need it.
Kind of a Jack White philosophy? Any influences there?
Yeah. No? Well,
He talks like that a lot when you hear interviews with him. He talks about finding the worst guitar you can possibly play and, capturing that sound.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of money, so he can buy whatever he wants. reading those interviews of his, I would like to say that we're all influenced by the same sort of aesthetic, the do-it-yourself, DIY, punk rock thing, and that carries over. And the fact that he's like this rock star who can buy all this stuff, which, makes it a lot easier, because I was reading somewhere he had made a two inch 8-track, and I was like, oh my god, like how much money did you spend on like what's wrong with a regular 8-track? And I'm like, I got this money, I can just buy whatever I want. But
I got a lot of money to spend on making me sound like I don't have a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh man,
well, got him beat, right?
Yeah, where do you draw the line, man? I mean, just buy a boombox if you want to do that.
How do you distribute your music then? What's the best way now that you're finding is the best for the artist and the best for the fans to sort of make that connection between friends of Cesar Romero and the people who want to hear you?
I think, man, this is an ever-changing battle. If you distribute your music by yourself, or if you're an independent artist, this is terrain that you have to navigate because it changes all the time. And I would say that it had gone from whatever, like the physical copies of LPs and cassettes and CDs to your MP3s. And now it's just streaming. It's just like, so it's weird because you don't make any money off of Spotify and the Apple thing and stuff like that. But that's, people want more. And they want to give less, so it's a weird area to navigate. But I've just said, well, I'm just gonna just put it up on Bandcamp, and you can download the latest one for however much you want. You can take it for free, and then when the next one comes up, then I put a price on the other one. So it's just that's kind of been working for me, but it changes all the time. I think it's just gonna eventually. Like we're working for free anyway. We might as well just succumb to it. It's so, I don't know. It's weird. It's really weird. It's a weird time. Weird time to be alive.
Yeah. What does that mean for the future of the arts in general? That's too big of a question.
Exactly. Well,
right?
I mean, I would speculate that because it's in this sort of in this cycle. I mean, a lot of it has to do with the people who. Distro the music who own these copyrights, and they're the ones, the labels and the big corporations that own the labels, they're the ones who can sway the tide, but you know, nobody's gonna call up Pandora and say, hey man, you know, you're really giving us a bad shake here, you know, can you do something? They're like, no man, we're, guy's got a giant building in Oakland that I drive by all the time, and I'm like, I'm starving. But yeah, I don't know.
I know you have a cold, but I think you sound great. Will you play something else for us?
Oh, okay. I was hoping I would get by with that. Without that one, I was like, oh, run out the clock. All right. yes, I will totally play another one.
Thank you. Just tuning in, Friends of Cesar Romero on this week's Moment in Sound. Johnny, what was the name of that one?
That was a brand new one called Ford Enamorada.
I like that one a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
One should be coming out next year sometime on the Snappy Little Numbers label.
All right. So tell us about that upcoming release in 2018. Full length?
Full length. It's been a while. So I had this, my New Year's resolution for this year was I was going to release 4 songs every month and wow. put them out. And so I got kind of made my quota, but towards the end of the year, one of the labels that we're friends with, we talked about doing this record. And so instead of putting out the last whatever, I just saved those songs. And so I'm like saving them up for next year. So far I have like 20 brand new songs ready to roll.
Wow.
I know.
You do understand that's not like what everyone can do. I don't want to say like, you know, you're special, but like, I don't,
yeah,
like
yeah.
You do
I
know
am
that's,
special,
that's incredible,
Lord.
Right?
I am
you
special.
Are.
thank
you're incredible.
I mean, I think about it like this is like, you know how people like run in the morning and people work out. It's the same concept. Is like if you're always if you're always writing, then you never stop. So
right.
it's like for me, right. it's like I'm always, before I used to carry on this notepad, and when I'd hear people over talk and hear cool phrases, I would write them down. Now I just text myself, and you have this this little voice recorder on your phone now. You can just write down ideas or record ideas, which is great. So you always have these ideas constantly going. And the hard part is just finding the time to connect all the dots. And when you do, it's cool. It's cool. I like that yeah. aspect of it.
Most people don't want to work that hard.
Well, I don't know. Maybe some people do. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe everybody wants to work that hard. I don't know.
I mean,
most people aren't turning out that many songs.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think that a lot of times when I end up talking to a lot of my peers is that they just don't find the time to sit down and connect the dots, because it's all there, mm-hmm. right? And you sort of wait for a muse, or you sort of wait for something like that. I mean, if you did that, you would wait every time you broke up, or every time you had some sort of weird relationship problem or whatever, to sort right. of light this fire, when really it's always there. You just have to dig a little bit deeper, I think. And that's what I've discovered over the last years. Because you would sit there and be like, there's this writer's block thing. And it's like, that's no excuse. You just, even if it's a bad song, there's 250 songs registered with BMI. There's like probably like 500 songs that didn't get registered because they're so terrible. just leave them. But it's one of those things, you can mine that idea for a later song that's better. So yeah.
I think that's a perfect place to end it. Johnny, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. We appreciate you working through the cold. You sound great. And
thank you.
We love it. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Friends of Cesar Romero, Tuesday, December 26th, Black Hills Vinyl in Rapid City, 7 p.m. Find him on Bandcamp, bandcamp.friendsofcesarromero.com. And thanks to our friends from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital Studio for helping bring content and music from Rapid City.